Well, hello and welcome, everybody. This is your host, Kendi Foster. Welcome to another great show with the Courage Network. We're talking today about the courage to sing your story. Sing your story. That's kind of interesting lyrics, isn't it? So I'd like you to think right now, if you're sitting in your living room or you're driving in your car and you're wondering, you know, what's next step in my life? Well, I want you to think about some of the dreams that you kind of left sitting on the porch, right? Think about the dreams that you have that, you know, would help you to like step into things that are like totally in your mind impossible for you right now. Maybe that's why you haven't manifested yet, right? But it's there. And you know what I've found over the years, you know, I've been a coach for 30 plus years now, right? And what I've found is that if you set your intention and you allow yourself to go through the iterations of fears, of worries, of concerns, whatever is going through your mind, but you keep walking into courage every single day. And of course, as you've heard me say before, you know, courage doesn't show up until you walk into the unknown, right? But if you walk into the unknown, and the unknown is that dream, that big dream of yours, if you walk into the unknown every single day consistently, eventually what's going to happen is you're going to look back and go, wow, this thing has happened for me. I remember when I wrote my first book, it was my wife's idea. Hey, Ken, you should write a book. And I thought, oh, okay. I don't spell well. I don't have good grammar. I went through college and everything. I still couldn't spell. Didn't matter. I didn't really have anything to say in my world, but she said, no, you should write your book. So I started thinking about it. And, you know, I those of you that know me know that I believe in stillness, you know, stillness and living from a place of oneness is the price of greatness. Right. So I got still, I got quiet, and I just asked, you know, what would this great book title be? And you know what came to my mind? My first book was called Ask and You Will Succeed. That was the title that came in my head. Some other titles came in too, but that's the one that stuck. And again, I didn't know how to write a book, but you know what I did? I got mentoring. I went to a workshop with a guy by the name of Mark Victor Hansen and his friend Robert Allen, who are my friends to this day. And this is back in, I think, 2000. And they said, hey, Ken, you got a book in you. What's your title? I told them. And they gave me the formula to write it. And I wrote it. Took me about 3 years to write it, the first one. And you know what? Became a overall Amazon bestseller, my first book. That's hard to do. Hard to do back then, hard to do today. Okay, why am I telling you that? 'Cause for only one reason. Because if that dream is in there, you know, God didn't give me your dream. He gave you your dream, right? So why are you not manifesting it? What has to happen for you to sing your own song and bring that song to light? Okay. Well, I have a very special guest today. And he is a singer, actually. And he's a man that's not just talking about it. He's out doing things that a lot of artists just dream to do, but he's doing it. And we're going to talk about his mindset, what he's doing, why his next song is going to be number one on Spotify and probably on breakout charts and everywhere else, and how he's doing that. You know, remember this, you know, the mind, right? And well, I'll put it this way. My world, everything comes out of soul, spirit, God. Everything comes out of that. That stillness piece, that's when I just get still, connect to that, allow that download to come in, right? Every day, by the way, this is consistent stuff for me. It's not just here and there. But everything comes out of spirit. Spirit's over the mind, right? Mind's over the emotion, emotion over action, action over results, results over destiny, right? But when we allow ourselves to connect deeply, our dreams can manifest. Anyway, he's going to talk about his dreams, and we're going to talk about his path to success in. It's, you know, I've found that, you know, if you model what other people are doing, it's going to help you manifest your dream. So I'm going to take a break. We'll be right back with my amazing guest.
Do you suffer in pain? Are you stiff, tense, or less active than before? Introducing the EasyWell Remedy Massage System that combines the incredible effects of vibrational therapy, targeted deep tissue shiatsu massage, plus soothing infrared heat. A triple fusion of therapeutic experiences. Full body vibrational therapy increases blood circulation and reduces inflammation. Look at these beads moving from the powerful vibrational motors.
It's like 1,000 little fingers just vibrating my body from head to toe.
Infrared heat penetrates deep to reduce pain, soothe, and relax.
Remedy gets in there and helps deal with the source of the pain, so you feel much better.
The Ultra Shiatsu Pillow with 6 infrared heated nodes mimics a professional massage. Plus, it's detachable for deep relief anywhere you need it.
It's just something that you're gonna have to feel for yourself.
Experience the true remedy for your pain and stiffness. Call now.
Well, welcome back, everybody. My guest today is Ansel Brown. Ansel, welcome to the show, man. It is great to connect with you.
It's awesome to be here, and I've been waiting to do this interview for a little while now. So I'm glad to finally be here.
I'm glad you showed up. It's good. Yeah. You know, half the job, of course, is showing up, right?
Yeah.
You know, for those of you that don't know Ansel, he's a country artist. He's a storyteller and creative force with a journey that's defined by resilience, truth, and an unshakable belief in second chances. With a voice steeped in soul and grit and lyrics pulled straight from real life, Ansel's music carries the weight of experience from personal tragedy and redemption to deep love, patriotism, and faith. Born in Greenville, South Carolina, and raised in a Navy family, his early years were shaped by discipline, duty, and a childhood spent moving between places like Pearl Harbor, North Virginia, and Norfolk. His first musical memories run deep. His grandmother's piano playing and powerful voice echoing through the house. His mother singing lullabies to comfort him through sleepless nights. Music wasn't just background noise. It was memory, medicine, and magic. It shaped by his identity and shaped him and his identity and sparked a lifelong calling to create songs that truly mean something. And boy, don't we need that today, Ansel. I'm so
glad. Yeah.
You know,
yes,
yeah, you know, there's a lot going on. Well, welcome anyway. You know, it's awesome. Yeah.
No, it's good to be here, man. I'm really, really excited that we're finally talking.
Well, you know, I wanted to dive into that family piece because, you know, a lot of artists go through trouble and trying times, you know, and, you know, I include myself in that. You know, we feel pain. We go through struggles. Sometimes we go through addictions. We go through all kinds of stuff. Oh, but eventually, it's all part of the story. How is your path to where you are?
Well, when you have a mother that was almost murdered at her high school, when you're 12, 13 years old, and that person, the mother, fights her way out of it, survives. And you know, really teaches you about, you know, not giving up. That foundation for me was like set, you know, that was part of my DNA as I grew as a boy. And you know, to this day, she's still my hero. She survived an unthinkable crime. I'm not gonna get into the graphic details of it, but it was one of those situations. I'll just put it this way: the person was in a skeleton mask with a 12-inch dagger, and she was grading papers after school one day. And she ended up surviving it. And she, at the trial, when he was caught, he was apprehended. The thing that I remember most is that my mother went up to him at the sentencing, and she hugged him and forgave him. And it, you know, not only told me about surviving and courage, but also the power of forgiveness, and the emotional part of that is incredibly powerful as well. So, but you know, I've been through a lot of other things. That's just one part of my life, and that was definitely a seeding moment for me. And
you know, forgiveness is such a hard trait for so many people. It's like they'll hear this and go, why would she forgive him? Why? I don't understand that, you know? And, you know, I just want to say that, you know, forgiveness is as much for them as it is for us.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's what people don't realize sometimes is that in order for you to move on, you've got to be able to forgive.
Yeah.
Otherwise it's always with you. And my mother changed her career. She stopped being a teacher at that point, and she ended up doing a lot of other things besides teaching. But what she did is she realized that, you know, there was nothing. She had 12 or 13 surgeries after that attack over a number of years. So her suffering went on. And I, you know, to this day, and I used to not talk about this, but my mom is 85 now. And she is my hero. Like I'm going to get choked up talking about her, but she is my driving force in terms of the influence in my life. And to this day, I can't think of one time that I heard my mother say, why me? Hmm. Why did I have to go through this? Why did I have to change my career? Why did I have to stop teaching? I've never heard her say that.
Yeah.
And that's powerful. Like if you think about it, just to be, to go through something that was life altering and to never, ever again say, why me? That's her strength.
That's the strength.
Yeah.
You know, so many go into, cause that takes courage to do that.
Yeah.
That is profound courage to be able to you know, go through what she went through and not complain about it, not complain about her life. Not complain about, you know, and just stay in that courageous state. It was just, you know, well, I guess we got to get on.
Yep.
You know, how do you get on? You know.
Oh yeah, and I, you know, in another part of my life, I met a young girl that had 30 something brain surgeries, and we became very close. Her name was Haley, and the girl was the happiest girl on the planet, even knowing she was going to get her 34th surgery. And I was with her at her last brain surgery. And when she woke up, I was right there. I was the person that was next to her. And her joy, like if you're struggling to survive something that you went through and you're struggling to move on, having that attitude of, you know what, there is a tomorrow now and I'm going to enjoy it. And I don't need to sit and sulk about it. I need to move on. That's what she taught me. And so I had two females in my life that both taught me incredible, incredible things about not giving up, about perseverance, about courage, about love and respect and forgiveness. And I think that's one reason that in my life, I have been through things.
Yeah.
In my life, personally, I keep moving. I'm kind of like, I don't want to say I'm the energizer bunny, but that's kind of the thing. You know, I keep going forward. I keep going forward.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, there's a lot of folks that use distractions to not move forward. And, you know, whether that distraction is, you know, the internet or, you know, TikTok or Facebook, or whether that distraction is drugs or alcohol, whether that distraction is, you know, overeating or
oh yeah,
you know, or just
I got to deal with that one.
You know, yeah, I get to deal with that too. But you know, we're not perfect humans. But you know, the point is that, you know, we figure it out. You got to figure it out. You know, and I think one of the reasons I have you here, you know, is not only we're going to talk about your music because your music's brilliant. I love your music.
Thank you.
And, you know, we're going to talk about that, but you know, the story behind the story is really just as important as the music. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. And, you know, I like platforms where I can kind of, you know, connect with people in a different way than just the music. So this is, you know, your platform is amazing for that. And I, you know, really appreciate you letting me get on here and share my story.
Yeah. 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 Well, you know, we're and we won't stand tragic stories for the whole.
We're the only two tragic stories I'm going to tell you anyway.
You got three more.
There are others. Okay. Yeah, yeah, there are others, yeah. But I'm not gonna tell you all of them.
yeah, that's okay. But you know, well, it's the basis of your music though too, because I was gonna ask you, have you written songs with your mom in mind?
I've been trying to write one, so that's actually something that I'm doing, and I'd like to do it, you know, before she gets, she's 85, but she's as strong as a horse, you know, she's a good woman. So I think I've got some time, but I'm going to get it done.
Yeah.
So that's happening.
Yeah. Well, you know, people go 85, you know, listen, I'm climbing Mount Kilimanjaro next year with a guy that's going to be 90. He's going to be turning 90. Oh, you're coming with me, man.
I'm going to be turning 9 hours.
Yeah. You're going to go up with 90 people on Warner Burger's 90th birthday. This guy has climbed Kilimanjaro 9 times, but he's also got Guinness Book of Records for climbing the highest, the tallest peaks on each plant, on each continent in his 70s, right? He's got the, you know, he's in 90. Come on, let's. You know, 85 is young. Tell your mom she's young.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe she'll come and climb with us. Who knows?
I wouldn't put it past her.
Yeah. She's invited. You know, we're inviting. Yeah. We're inviting vibrant, amazing people that have made a difference in people's lives to come on up. So
that's cool, man.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a good thing. Listen, I do have to take a break. I got to pay a bill. But listen, when I come back, I want to take a little deep dive into some of the music that you got out there. Okay.
Okay.
Now you got a new hit coming out, and I want to talk to you a little bit about that. So we'll be right
back. UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Imagine every day clients walk into your office with their concerns about intimacy, identity, desire, and trauma. Questions that require more than basic training. Emotional and sexual dynamics are evolving, and today's professionals must evolve with them. We hear from parents unable to start conversations with their children around identity. Too often, adolescents have learned their sexual ideas from the internet. Couples have difficulty communicating about sex with each other. At the International Institute of Clinical Sexology, you can gain the specialized skills and knowledge to address those issues with confidence. Whether you are a therapist, coach, educator, or other healthcare professional, our advanced certifications and PhD program empower you to become a highly skilled, sought-after sex therapist. Expand your expertise. Elevate your earning potential. Start your journey today with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology. Imagine making a difference in our world. Learn more at clinicalsexologyphd.org.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle Magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle Magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
Strawberries and cream.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm talking with Ansel Brown, musician, artist, family man, amazing spirit is what I get. So Ansel, you got the new single out, you know, We Make America Run. It, you know, it's a tribute to everyday heroes. I want to know what inspired you to write it.
Well, that one I did not write. So that one is my Matt Wynn and two other great writers that have had several hits, several number ones. I was incredibly blessed to come across that song when I did. and to be the first one to record it. And it is it's a blue collar anthem, and it is an amazing, if you know, anybody that works a day job, that, you know, whatever it is, if it's blue collar, if it's entrepreneurial, you're going to relate to this song. If you're in the military, if you're in, you know, whatever you're in, it's something that everybody can relate to. And when I heard it, I immediately told my producer, Cliff Downs, I said, this is my song. Can I have this song? Can I do this song? And, because you're right, there is a story behind every song, but there's also a story behind the people that perform and sing the songs. And in my case, my whole family, they were all blue collar workers. My granddad was a head pressman at the Greenville News for 40 years. So I grew up around, you know, my dad was in the Navy and he worked his, you know, tail off, and my mom was a school teacher. And so, you know, all those people are in this song, man. It's an amazing song, and I can't wait for people to hear it. I mean, you can hear it now. It's on Spotify, but we're releasing it to radio in a couple of weeks.
Yeah. Well, actually, by the time this airs, it'll be out, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, if my editor's really good, he'd probably put it right in right now, you know? So
yeah. Real quick. There you go.
Tell me the words that, you know, in that song that moved you to go, I got to have this song.
I mean, the first thing I heard was run them roads in 18 wheelers. And then this is the funny part. I'm not a fan of either Green Bay Packers, Pittsburgh Steelers. We ain't afraid of doing a little hard work. But believe it or not, that line right there got me connected to the city of Pittsburgh, which is a blue collar mecca. And the town requested that I come headline their 4th of July show last summer, because they heard that line in that song from one of a beer company that knows about me and had a preview of it. Wow. So I really connected that first beginning because of that. But I'm, like I said, I'm, you know, it's about the steel workers. It's about the, you know, the military people, the teachers, the, you know, I can't pick one spot in the song because it's all good.
Yeah.
It really is. It'll speak to everybody. It is really well written. And the people the three guys that wrote it, just incredibly gifted at what they do and telling a story. And this song, man, if you're a nurse, if you're a tractor trailer, you know, driver, you know, 18 wheeler, if you're a firefighter, you know, the flashing lights, we're the flashing lights that get there first.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, thanking God for every prayer you pray, you know, thinking of the military.
Yeah.
An amazing song.
Well, you know, it's interesting about songs. It seems that the songs that go to the number one on the charts and the ones that last, if you take out the word to, let's say, to Sally Sue or to Mary Lou, if you take out that and you put in the word God, okay, it's like I'm in love with you, God. I'm in love with you, Sue. You know,
that's a good point.
Can you relate to that?
That's a good point. Yeah, that's a really good point. I think you're on to a cool fact about relationship and God.
Yeah. Well, you know, I asked that same to Carol Connors and David Longoria, who were up for a Grammy this year. And Carol thought, wow, you know, yeah, you're absolutely right on. You know, all the old hits, you know, if you look back, you go, yeah, maybe I'll start writing that way, you know. She didn't say that. So I was thinking, well, maybe you will. Who knows? But yeah, that's interesting. So let me ask you, you got that hit that's going to be out there. And, I'm going to go explore what do you look for in a song? Let me ask you that. What do you look for?
Connection. I have to. You know, vulnerability is kind of my superpower. And, you know, that's the way I look at it. A lot of people look at vulnerability wrong. I actually headlined a U.S. patent and trademark patent inventors conference as the keynote speaker. And my whole speech was on vulnerability and in a positive way.
Yeah.
And everybody that saw the speech, including the people that put on the event,
called me after and they were like, you know, you made me look at vulnerability in a completely different way. I just like, most people think I'm vulnerable. I'm, you know, it's a negative connotation, but to me, it's really important to understand that vulnerability is an incredible superpower, especially if you embrace it. And so when I listen to any song, I have to connect, because in order for me to do my show or to meet with people and talk about a song or to interview and talk about a song, I really at the base have to be connected with that song. And then in turn, that connects me through the song to the audience, because I really want people to feel what I'm feeling, think the way that I'm thinking while I'm performing it, and really cross the bridge of, are they just watching me, or are they, am I actually doing something that's impacting them as they watch it? Are they becoming part of my story as I sing it? And I think that, it doesn't matter how talented you are. It doesn't matter how many instruments you play. It doesn't matter how great you sing or how great you write. If you can't connect it with others, there's really nothing there. And part of that's just the way that the song is portrayed. So that's really the first thing I got to connect.
And, you know, once you can, I mean, yeah, another word for vulnerable, of course, is being authentic, right? Just, it's your authentic self, right?
Yep.
Well, you know, it's interesting because a lot, you know, I think what happens in music is we learn about ourselves. I know I sure have. We learn about, you know, different aspects of who we are when the artist can just tell that story. They're just telling the story. This, you know, right. What happened, you know? And, you know, some stories are, you know, very sad. And I know when I used to go through breakups, I'd listen to those sad songs, maybe even sadder.
Oh, yeah. We've all been there, man. We have all been there. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But at the same time, it helped me through that. Like, you know, like, oh, yeah. And then at one point, well, I'm done being sad. You know,
it's therapeutic.
You know, it's therapeutic, right? Music can do that. So let me ask you this about music, because it's now we're coming into the age of AI. Right. You know, and AI can analyze all the music and the sound and the frequency and the vibration in the music. Have you got to that point where you're like, oh, let me have AI, you know, let me analyze the songs that have been number one hits and their frequency and vibration, and let me see if I can match that. Do you guys think that way now or what?
From the AI perspective, yes. I think about AI from an automation standpoint to efficiencies to trend analysis, to algorithm analysis, all that kind of stuff. I'm not totally sold on AI artistry yet in terms of AI, you know, performing songs and because I just haven't had anything that I didn't feel like that I felt connected to that I've heard that was created with AI. Yeah. So I'm not really there with that. I'm kind of a purist when it comes to songwriting. And though I do think that AI is a great tool to help you with your songwriting.
Yeah.
I think it can very much help, as long as you're bringing, you know, it's just when you start letting AI decide, you know, what the song is instead of you deciding what the song is. I think there's a line there for artists in particular, because again, you got to connect. You got to connect to what you're writing, to what you're singing, to what you're performing. And so that's part of it. But AI absolutely is a part of my life. I know a lot about the technology. I utilize it in terms of, you know, helping me refine certain aspects of my marketing. And there's a place for AI everywhere. It's a huge, you know, you're either going to be a part of AI in terms of what can you do to make yourself better, grow your business or whatever it is. So there's a lot there with AI to unpack. And there's a lot of controversy, obviously, with anything from creative aspects of AI to, you know, replacing humans in roles. And, you know, it just opens up a Pandora's box of different realities that we're going to have to face and deal with. So just from a philosophical standpoint, I'm a technology guy. I love technology. I love my computer. I love doing things on my computer. AI is just another tool to me.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. Listen, I got to take a break. When we come back, what I want to talk about is you a little bit. I kind of want to know, who is Ansel Brown? Like, who are you at the depth of you? And my audience wants to know that too. So we'll be right back.
Sounds good.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job, she was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy, but every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movement and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm talking with recording artist Ansel Brown. And Ansel, you know, I asked you before the break, you know, like who is the real Ansel Brown? I mean, I think I'm getting the pieces of you here. You know, like what do you value? Let me just ask you that. What do you value in life?
Definitely God and family. Definitely friendships and just being able to connect, like I said. So most of my careers, and I say careers plural, you know, being an entrepreneur, a person that runs a business, being an artist, you know, that drives me, just the challenge of, and you know, the courage that it takes to go for those challenges and step off the cliff. I'm kind of a mystery to people though, because I do have multiple lives in terms of, you know, the way I compartmentalize things. And that has to do with business. That has to do with family. That has to do with fun. That has to do with music. And I don't like to sit idle. And I think part of my music journey is related to not wanting to be idle, but also the love of, and the challenge of doing things that a lot of people, when they first meet me, they're like, wait a second, you're a singer? Wait, you're this, you're that. And the joy of those conversations, just like, you know, doing an interview and having somebody discover things as we talk, is really just excites me. I mean, I get incredibly amped when I talk about my journey, because it's just never ending. Not all good, a lot of failures, but the good times, the experiences that you have by doing, not holding back on your passion and what you want to do and accomplish, is worth the ride. It doesn't matter how low you get or how high you get. It really is about the challenge of going through with it. And if you don't do it, I dropped out of high school when I was 17 years old, and I could have floundered. I could have disappeared and just become a statistic. But instead, what I realized at that age was, I'm not meant to sit in a classroom.
I'm meant to be doing and achieving and learning and believing in what I can do. And that changed. That was a huge paradigm shift for me. I went from dropout, nobody respecting me, to a straight up in college because I started doing it because I wanted to do the next step. And once I had that confidence, that started a snowball effect. It just, everything I did became, if I don't try what I'm thinking about doing, I will never know what I could be. And that is what changed me. That one sentence that I just told you is what changed the entire trajectory of my life. And the successes and failures that came after that are because of that sentence. And realizing that as a 17, 18 year old, that if I don't try what I think I should be doing, I will never know. And that's scarier to me than trying.
Mm-hmm. How have the successes molded you?
The successes, you know, there's a little bit of humbleness there, but there's also the joy of experiencing what you get to experience, whether it's a business success or a music, you know, music journey success, or, you know, you write a song and NASA picks up the song, but it only happened because you tried to get people to hear the song and you pursued it, because you know, if you don't, you won't know if that would ever happen. And then when those things happen, the experience is the manifestation of, you know, that's what the manifestation caused, is you to have that experience.
Yeah.
And you only get that experience once in your life, right? So whatever it might be, you experience it one time and then you're off to your next experience. I want as many of those experience moments that I can have.
Yeah. Well, you know, just to model it. I mean, even, you know, before we got on the conversation today, I said, "Hey, Ansel, I got a song that I'd like you to listen to." I wrote that song. I've never told anybody, you know,
there you go.
I've never asked anybody to listen to it, to go through it, you know, and I was like, well, you know, it felt right. And I was like, I'm just going to see, because I thought about putting it out there to another artist who's very, very well known. And, you know, we've become friends, and I went, no, it doesn't feel right. So I was like, all right, you know, but that's modeling what we're talking about. How to, you know, I don't know if Ansel's going to like it or not. You may go, "Hey, man, it's a great song, but, you know, it's not for me." That's okay. But I won't know.
But you put it out there. Right. You won't ever know unless you said that, had that conversation with me.
That's right.
And that's just at a micro level. That's exactly what I do in life. And I think, you know, maybe it makes me try too many things sometimes, you know, because I do fail. But the failures just make everything sweeter. And it's part of my DNA, man. I got to try it if I think it, you know, most of the time. I haven't done the Everest thing yet.
No, we're going to, you and me are going to Kilimanjaro.
Yeah, I know that's close. There you go, man.
You'll do Kilimanjaro first and then Everest. You can do it. I'm doing Everest.
I talked to Sherpas and everything about doing Everest when I was younger. And I just never, that was the one thing. I've had kids for a long time. Just let me put it that way. I've had kids for a long time. Yeah. And when you're a dad, you know, you do have to take into account what your goal or your, you know, what challenge you want to get next.
That's right.
You do have to think about those risks.
Yeah. You have to do that. Yeah. All right. Listen, quick break. And then, I you know what I want to know? And I bet my audience wants to know. You know, you talked about a little bit about what drives you, but what, you know, why? Why do you do all this stuff? Okay. So I'll be right back. Okay. Welcome back, everybody. This is Ken Foster, and I'm with Ansel Brown today, and recording artist Ansel Brown. You know, that has a nice ring to it. Recording artist Ansel Brown. You know, that's pretty cool. You had to earn that. You know, you don't just get to, you know, say that, right? You know,
it's true. Sometimes though, it feels like, you know, I have a little bit of imposter syndrome, so it's always like a little bit surreal to me when I hear it, and it's been that way for, you know, 20 years. So. Yeah.
Well, it was same with me. You know, I first, you know, I started, my wife, I told the story about, you know, my wife asking me to write a book, and then, you know, and I was like, okay, well, I can claim I'm a writer now. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I decided, well, I can claim, you know, I'm an author, you know, it still had imposter syndrome. And I was like, now I can claim I'm a best-selling author because I became a best-selling author.
There you go.
And, but all the time I was like, yeah, I don't know. It didn't feel quite right. I had to kind of just let it sink in and go, okay, this isn't really me. This is what I do. And so therefore I don't need to be an imposter about one thing or another. Problems, right? You know. But so back to that question, man. Why, what's the why behind Ansel Brown? Where's your why, man?
Man, I'm a little bit crazy, I guess, but I think the why is again, it comes down to I'm just wired to go after what I think I should be doing. And I everything resonates from that desire. And, like I said, I fail plenty. And I think, you know, people that are afraid of failure just are missing the idea. Just like people that don't know how to forgive others because it's too hard. The same thing with failure, you know, you just can't be afraid of it. You got to do it because it teaches you something. And that tapestry that is you is something that over time, okay, so when I first started being a singer, when I first started performing, I thought I was good at it. I thought I was having, you know, I was having fun, but I was always, there was always this layer of, you know, doubt in what I was doing on stage, how I was doing it, you know, what sets were I doing? How was I putting the set together? This time, after taking an extended break and coming back to music, you know, last year, I'm a completely different performer than I was when I was, you know, touring nationally and all that stuff during the first round of my career. Now it's like, there's something, I don't know. It's like an NFL veteran. You know, you have the 2 or 3 year player that's still kind of a rookie learning how to be a veteran. And then all of the sudden, at some point, they become this wily veteran, the veteran that kind of knows what he needs to do every day in order to be successful. He knows the processes that he needs to take to be successful on game day. And the same thing in my life, everything that I've gone through, the successes, the failures, the incomplete challenges that I've brought on myself, because there are some challenges that I never finished. And then even the ones that are still yet to be chased, that all adds up to who you are and what you know. And so from my standpoint as an artist now, when I get up, it's game day. When I go out and I perform, that day is all about sitting in where I'm at, enjoying where I'm at, taking it in and not just getting excited, letting everything pass by, do the show, you're full of energy, and then you're done, and then you're moving on to the next thing. But now I the experience again is top. I want to experience that day at its fullest. I don't want to just have it go poof and it's, you know, it's done, it's gone. I want to experience things now. So that's part of who I've become and why I do what I do, because I want to experience and enjoy it and learn from it and all the other things that come along with it.
Yeah, that's good. You know, one thing you mentioned, and we're just about out of time here. I'm not going to go there. What I want to ask you is, what's the legacy that you'd like to leave for your family, your friends, and those in America that are listening to your amazing music?
So when my daughter was born during the pandemic, it was, you know, she was born right in the middle of the pandemic. And I did this thing with her. I've only told a couple people this, but I smiled at her every day. Every time that I looked at her and made eye contact with her from the time she was born for 3 months straight, not a time happened that I didn't sit there and do this to her.
Yeah.
I smiled every time that I looked at her. And as I did that, one, she started smiling earlier, but two, to this day, she is the most bubbly, smiley little girl that you will ever meet. And And part of that, I'm getting to a point, but part of that is if you are in a position to, I just lost track. I'm sorry.
Talking about legacy.
Yes, legacy. Thank you. So what happened is, as I was doing that, I realized that my daughter does not know that I'm a singer. My daughter, I was not performing anymore. I was writing, but I wasn't singing. I wasn't doing anything. My life had changed. And I sat there, and that was the day when that happened. That was the day that I said, I got to get back into music, and I've got to do this because of my legacy. I want my kids, I want my family to know, one, that I love connecting with people, two, that I am a singer, just like my grandmother. You know, she was an amazing performer. And I really want that. But most of all, I want people to know that I have love for my country. I have love for my family and friends and my community. And that's part of the whole connection process. I have love for the veterans in my life and the veterans that I don't even know. And love for the kids in children's hospitals that are facing, you know, untold challenges. And that's really at the heart of who I am, is I want to be known as somebody that did make a difference.
Yeah.
And that can happen in a lot of different ways, but that's part of my legacy and what I want to leave. And music has always been tied to that. So I'm glad I got back on track because of my daughter. And I'm glad that I listened to my heart and said, you know what? It's not too late for me to do this and do it right and do it for my legacy.
Well, you know, I we're going to end there, but you know what? It's never too late, brother.
It's true, especially today.
Yeah.
It really isn't. And I think nobody should ever just give up because they think it's too late.
Yeah. Don't let your age define who you are. You know, let your dreams define who you are.
And that's a health statement too. Yeah. Never give up and think that it's too late.
Yeah.
Just keep moving forward. Keep fighting for what you want and just do it.
100%. 100%. Well, we could go on and on, but I can't because I'm out of time. So it was great to have you here, and I hope you come back. You know,
it was amazing. I hope people will visit my website and kind of learn a little bit more about me.
We had Ansel Brown on Spotify. We should have said that throughout the show.
Oh, you're good, man.
Spotify and all you got to, yeah. You know, you want to know Ansel, just look him up in social media. Yeah.
Oh yeah, just anselbrown.com is a good place to go.
Yeah. How about on the iPhone app?
Apple Music.
Apple Music.
Pandora.
Pandora.
We recently hit number one on Movers and Shakers on Amazon, and we hit number two on new music in the country music genre on the new releases list.
Wow. That's awesome, man. Well, congratulations on all the success and Mordica.
Thank you so much. It was awesome. Hopefully we can do another one of these and get into some other talks.
Hopefully we can. Yeah.
Yeah.
And for my audience, I want to thank you for joining us today. And if you decide to do your dream, right, sing your song, you will be able to see the unseeable, know the unknowable, and do the impossible at the end of that. Take care.